Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, to redeem God's Word to us in our Old Testament lesson should be very familiar. Anyone who remains to the conclusion of God's divine service will hear the Lord speak His benediction, His blessing, which was first spoken through Aaron and has continued ever since through His called servants. The Lord continues to bestow His blessings to those whom He gathers into His presence by word and sacrament. And by His words in the benediction are such, or His words are such, sweet and pure gospel, that He wants you to hear them again and again, in a way to be vested with them as you go out from this holy place to live in this dark and dying world. God's Word and His promises are what He is bestowing to you. And those promises, His work indeed, is certain and sure. But He also desires to bless His redeemed over and over again. So with His benediction, the Lord blesses those whom He has placed His holy name upon before they depart to return to their ordinary and common vocations and callings in life. And it is therein that they steadfastly reflect His light and serve as His salt as they share His word with those He has surrounded them with. Our text for this morning from the Old Testament, let us hear again. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to Aaron and his sons, saying, thus you shall bless the people of Israel," or as the King James translates it, "the children. You shall bless and say to them, the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make His face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up His countenance upon thee and give thee peace. And they shall put My name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them." As we begin a new year, it's good to be reminded that God is indeed blessing us. But it's also good to consider what has transpired, to ponder God's great mercy and marvelous grace that has been bestowed upon us, because it is that very nature of God, His desire to be merciful and to bless, that sustains us, that enables us to endure. Now, before we get into the announcement of that blessed benediction, we must begin by remembering the context in which the Lord inspired His servant to speak them the first time. The Lord had released His children from their bondage in Egypt, and they are wandering in the wilderness as a form of God's discipline and chastisement for their sins that they immediately committed following their release from bondage. We too were born in bondage. That was the condition in which we were conceived. And that is the condition of the world in which we live, an earth that experiences the effects of the fall into sin. So corrupted was the original sin, or fall into sin, that our Lord has inspired His prophets throughout time to write regarding what will happen to the world as a result of sin. From Isaiah, "My righteousness draws near speedily. My salvation is on the way, and My arm will bring justice to the nations. The islands will look to Me and wait in hope for My arm. Lift up your eyes to the heavens. Look at the earth beneath. The heavens will vanish like smoke. The earth will wear out like a garment, and its inhabitants die like flies. But My salvation will last forever. My righteousness will never fail. See, I will create new heavens and a new earth. The former things will not be remembered, nor will they come to mind. And as the heavens, or as the new heavens and new earth that I make will endure before Me, declares the Lord, so will your name and descendants endure." And from our epistle lesson appointed for Christmas Day, you may recall, the Lord spoke, saying, "In the beginning, the Lord, You laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the work of Your hands. They will perish, but You will remain. They will all wear out like a garment. You will roll them up like a robe, like a garment. They will be changed. But you remain the same, and your years will never end. And from 2 Peter, but the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything done in it will be laid bare. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. The day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire, and the elements will melt in the heat. But in keeping with His promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth where righteousness dwells. This is the word of the Lord. And this word of the Lord is the only thing that endures forever. God's word is righteous and good, and His love, or His law, lovingly accuses our old sinful nature, but with purpose, to bring about repentance, to bring about a confessing of our true condition, so that we in turn, through faith in Christ, may receive His grace and blessings, forgiveness, the promise of eternal life, His Spirit, through which, working by word and sacrament, He strengthens the gift of faith so that we endure, so that we persevere in this dying world. But we have to remember that Satan and even the fallen world desire to continuously accuse us in these latter days, accuse us of our sins, lashing us, if you will, with a biting sting of a whip that might have been in the hands of the Egyptian taskmaster. The children of God who were in bondage in Egypt cried out. And the Lord heard their cries for mercy, pardon, and relief. And the Lord sent His shepherd to His people and entrusted to Moses His holy word of truth, which then Moses faithfully spoke to Aaron, who then spoke, was the mouthpiece, if you will, to the people. And the Lord gave Moses the name which they could invoke and call upon in the day of trouble. The Lord gave Moses His name. And so when Moses tells the congregation that I am has sent me to you, and then through Moses as the Lord speaks to His people as they travel through the Red Sea so as to deliver them from the land of bondage, He also speaks His word of judgment, which released those same waters of salvation, releasing them instead in righteous retribution to destroy the Egyptian armies. This should put us in mind of our deliverance that the Lord has worked by word and water and baptism. The Lord delivers His little ones by water and word so as to free them from eternal death, but also to drown the old Adam within them. He speaks His word by His shepherd and places His name upon them with the sign of the cross on the forehead and upon the breast. And whenever He gathers you, His redeemed in His name, to call upon Him, that is to invoke the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, He has promised to be with those He has gathered. So liturgically speaking, the Lord leads His faithful during the divine service to its conclusion with His benediction. It begins with blessing, with absolution. Begins with, if you will, blessing from the start at the invocation with His presence, but it also concludes with His blessing. There's also blessing in between those bookends, if you will. But just as it was with His children long ago, we too experience stops along the way, do we not? A fellow pastor related the following. We too hear God's law as a thunderclap of thou shalt not, and His lightning strikes of thou shalt. He speaks His word, and it does indeed accuse the old Adam within us. And His holy word of law, serving as a mirror bright, does not bring relief, it only demands. It shows no mercy and bestows no forgiveness. It crushes and it condemns. It kills. And if you are not convicted of that truth, you haven't been paying attention and you haven't pondered His commandments. You haven't applied them to your life. His law demands. And His unwavering expectation accuses even your very thoughts. And without a Redeemer or intercessor, you cannot approach God or enter His presence or abide in heaven unless you have kept the deeds of the law perfectly. Now that's apart from Christ. For those who desire to approach the Lord through their works, they stand condemned. So don't attempt to come to Sinai's holy mountain as sinners ruined by the fall, and don't listen to false shepherds who bid you to do so or say that you can, because you can't. But Christ has. So what do? At this point, without an intermediary, without an intercessor, could anyone ever think of or even dare to address the Lord making a confession like this? I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto thee all my sins and iniquities which I have ever offended thee, and justly deserve thy temporal and eternal punishment, but give me another chance, because I know I can earn thy favor this time. I can keep your law so that I can merit being in your presence. Who would be so foolish as to think they could approach thee? Only holy, perfect, sin-hating, righteous, all-knowing, present everywhere, triune God, with such a confession of sin. Such a confession or theology heaps up the just condemnation of the Lord. But what many fail to realize is that such erroneous thinking leaves them under the condemnation of the law. And unless God's Spirit and truth break through such hard-heartedness of one attempting to justify themselves in God's eyes, eternal suffering awaits. So what can you do? Simply listen to the word of the Lord and hear what God has promised. That there is good news of forgiveness, and that there is rest for body and soul, and that He will be present with His people and through faith in Christ bestow the gift of eternal life and salvation. It will not, however, be from Mount Sinai or His law that this good news is wrought. Our only hope is in the word of the Lord, which speaks and bestows the forgiveness of sins and the peace and blessings that is found in that lowly manger. And what we see unfolding for us this day in our very short gospel lesson is that on the eighth day, we are reminded of the one who has come to save. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. That is, in the fullness of time, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that they might receive the adoption of sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. The Christ child perfectly lived His life in thought, word, and deed under the law, doing so for you. He did all of this in your stead. And this did begin at His miraculous conception by the Holy Spirit. Thus He had no original sin, as we do. He lived His life under the law to fulfill all the demands of the law in your place. That began even at His infancy. And on the eighth day, the incarnate Christ was following the law, submitting to it, in His name, Jesus, which means Savior. And on that day, He also suffered circumcision and shed the first drop of His precious, innocent blood on your behalf. This, of course, was but the beginning of the work of salvation. He would shed His blood unto death upon the cross so that you could be forgiven. He has defeated the devil so that you can be released from his accusations. And He suffered scourging so that by His stripes you could be healed. He petitioned from the cross to forgive those who were yet still sinners, so that you could be pardoned of all your sins. And he lay in a tomb to sanctify the graves of those whom he calls his own. And he rose from the dead to defeat death for you and to bestow life. He has given you his word. He has sent his Holy Spirit, and he has placed his name upon you. So what can you do? Nothing other than simply state and confess the truth. Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor miserable sinner, confess unto thee all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended thee, and justly deserve thy temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray of thee, of thy boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being. That's the truth. That's confessing what the Word says of us. And just as the Lord revealed to Moses the word he was to give Aaron to speak to the penitent children of God congregated in olden times so that they could hear the gospel of forgiveness, eternal life, and salvation, so also the Lord reveals in his word that stewardship is given to the pastors so that the penitent children of God congregated in the presence of the Lord could also hear the same proclamation. Namely, that God, through his called servant, places his name upon you, declaring you to be his own. And for the sake of Jesus' innocent suffering and death, and by the command of Christ himself, as you have already heard this day, forgives you of all your sins. Forgiven in a name, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But there's more. You certainly haven't heard everything that conveys God's grace, mercy, and peace. In addition to the absolution and benediction, there are his promises spoken in the Introit, in the Kyrie, in the Gloria in Excelsis. His lessons from the lectionary through which he then speaks his word to you, the creeds and the hymns. There's more to point you to the Lord's Prayer, the words of institution, the Nunc Dimittis, and the proper preface in the Agnus Dei. Blessing upon blessing upon blessing. And then he speaks and bestows his final blessing when you hear the benediction. So stay and listen and know that it is God who speaks his word to you. The Lord spoke to Moses saying, "Speak to Aaron and his sons saying, thus shall you bless the children of Israel, and you shall say to them, the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them." We need his blessings. For as we go out into this world, we go out to return once again to the battle that rages around us. A battle that involves our own sinful flesh and inclinations. A battle against the world that is used as a tool by the devil and by the devil himself, who is defeated, but is in his death throes and is still very, very dangerous. We need these blessings of God to equip us so that we may persevere. We need these blessings of God so that we may rightly apply his word to our various vocations and callings in life. We need these blessings of God so that we rightly understand and apply what he spoke to us from the text that was for the church in Galatia. That there is neither slave nor free, male nor female. There is neither Jew nor Greek. When we stand before our Heavenly Father through faith in Jesus Christ, he no longer sees such distinctions. But there are distinctions here on this earth. There is maleness and femaleness. There are husbands and wives. There are indeed masters. And sadly, to this day, there are still slaves that exist. But in God's eyes, those distinctions do not exist through faith in Christ. So as we rightly then understand the callings and vocations that He has given us to be reflectors of His light, to serve as faithful wives and faithful husbands and children in relationship to their parents, that we have a field of endeavor to live out this blessed gift of faith that we have been given. But may we always do so, remembering His blessings that He has showered upon us, His unworthy servants. May we always remember that He is a God that desires to come to us, not with His wrath and justice, but with His grace and mercy found only in Christ. Fellow redeemed, believe those truths. Believe that you are a recipient of His countless blessings. Believe it for Jesus' sake. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now may the peace of God that surpasses all understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.